Well, beyond the musings of Ann and Nancy Wilson of Heart, is there such a thing as a magic man in real life? We do know we have shaman, and a shaman is a person who, in tribal cultures, communicates with the spirit world. As intermediaries, shaman ask spirits to intercede in the lives of humans, healing them of illnesses, granting favors, and that's what we're here to talk about for the last 2 hours of tonight's program. Shaman, and specifically a gringo shaman. How does one become a shaman, and especially how does one become a gringo shaman? We'll be asking that question of Ron Wheelock, the gringo shaman, and also we'll be bringing in one of his prime pupils, Victoria Alexander, a friend of ours from here in Las Vegas. Ron, you there?
Yes, I am.
And Victoria? Well, Victoria will be joining us, I guess, in a couple of minutes. Ron, let's just start it off. How do you become a shaman, and how do you become the gringo shaman?
Well, to become a shaman entails much studies with the plants, where I do extensive diets with ingesting many different tree barks, resins, roots, many different plants from trees, whatever, where I abstain from no salt, no sugar, no sex for long periods of time, and eat very bland diets, rice, green plantain, bananas, potatoes, certain types of fish, chicken, boiled eggs is basically my diet. And I've done diets from 3 days up to 64 days in length.
To sort of prepare you for these ceremonies.
Yes, and through the diets, then the plants come to you in your visions when we drink ayahuasca or in our dreams, and they teach us songs to call the spirits of the plants to do healing work.
You're here in the U.S. right now. Do you live mostly in the Amazon, in Peru?
Yes, I've lived outside of Iquitos, Peru for 10 years now. I went the first time in March of 96 and went back the same year and stayed 5 months and started my studies.
And so you learned under a guy named Don Augustine, right?
Don Augustine Rivas Vasquez.
It sort of reminds me of Carlos Castaneda and his Don Juan.
Well, his books really moved me in this direction. I found them very interesting, as I'm sure many people have.
And did you move to South America to become a shaman?
When I went the first time, I had read all of Carlos Castaneda's books. I read some other books, but I found that I was just reading the same story over and over. So I finally had a friend of mine loan me a copy of Shaman's Drum, and I inquired about journeys to the rainforest with the intentions of finding a healer to teach me, and was very fortunate my first time out to find Don Augustine Rivas Vasquez.
I would imagine there are people there who would be willing to teach you the basics. What I don't know is whether they're willing to teach you enough of the basics so you become a shaman yourself. I would imagine that there is some resentment about the gringo shaman coming down here and taking over something like this.
Well, I've had to deal a lot with that. There are other gringos down there working, but far as I know, I'm the only one that works on his own.
And you know what, George?
Victoria Alexander joining us. Yes,
yeah,
go ahead.
I say that I feel, and I think Ron's being too modest, he was called to it because the mother ayahuasca chooses who can represent her and who she works best with.
Yes, Mother Ayahuasca, right. Meaning this plant, right?
Yes. Wouldn't you agree, Ron?
Yes, that's very correct. She chooses who she wants to work with her, and she chooses the people to come to drink her.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, you both would understand the Western mind would have trouble wrapping itself around this, especially, Ron, you're saying that you communicate with the spirit world, that there are those who would accept their spirits, but they would only accept certain kinds based on their own religious beliefs. So tell me basically what you do, who these spirits are, what the nature of your communication is, and how you benefit people like Victoria and others.
Uh-huh. Well, to communicate with the spirit world, it's if I have certain questions or working with other people who have illnesses or seeking something in their life, usually I set my intentions. I say a prayer. I ask that they come, they teach me or tell me what to do. And I never know in what they come in usually human form. And many times they come and speak to me just like in everyday life, but and many times much clearer.
Meaning without drinking ayahuasca or any other concoction?
It's normally when we drink ayahuasca.
And what do they say? What's the nature of the interaction?
Like if I'm doing a healing on a patient that's sick, I work on the person. If they need to take a certain plant, then the spirits advise me what plants they should take and what kind of a diet and for how long they should follow this.
Well, and do you George, always...
Let me say that during a ceremony, you look towards the shaman in case there's you're having a problem. And in most ceremonies I've been in, there's always been the need for the shaman there. And even though he's been drinking, he then must serve the group. He's the one that comes to help if somebody is having a problem. And in Ron's case, I felt him and saw him transform. He's being much too modest with you. You can see how he actually transitions into a facilitator of the spirit working through him.
Transform meaning physically transform or what? How do you mean?
Well, Ron, what would you say? How would you answer that question?
Many times through the plant diets, one prepares their body for other spirits to work through us. And many times other spirits enter me and work through me. So yes, I'm there to help people through whatever problems they're dealing with.
All right, I want to get into the idea of
many times people, not so much physically, but in when they're in the state of ayahuasca, and when they look at me, they see me in other forms.
Yes, and I've heard the spirit come through you. Your language changes, your voice changes, everything about you transforms. That's why I use the word transform.
Sure.
I'm not observing him as if he's on display. I'm in the ayahuasca ceremony and experience myself. That's why you need a shaman there, because I certainly couldn't move. If anyone needed help, I couldn't give it to them. So you look towards the shaman, and many times you see how he can help. You watch him help other people.
Yes, exactly. If the place of the shaman, when people enter into these states, if someone was at home doing this and entering into these bad states, there's no one to help them.
That's right.
They're completely lost.
I'll tell you what, we need to take a break here. When we come back, I want to get into what a typical ceremony would be like. If I were to go down there and see you, Ron, in Peru, what would happen, what I would experience. And then I want to ask you about healings, the nature of these healings, and whether, you know, the Western mind would ask for some sort of documentation. How do we prove it? How do we demonstrate it? So we'll get into that as soon as we come back from this short break on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We're talking with Ron Wheelock, who was born in Kansas, but he isn't your typical Kansas guy, not anymore, because in 1996 he went to Peru looking for a spiritual teacher. He tried ayahuasca. He became, in essence, the gringo shaman of the Amazon and is now using his skills and knowledge to help other people as well. Ron, and we're joined also by one of his, I don't know if I can call you, Victoria, a disciple or a student or a pupil or what?
A student is good.
Student. Okay, student. Ron, give me an idea about what a typical ceremony would be like. Let's say, and I guess it's become sort of a tourist thing where people come down to Peru to see you specifically for this, right?
Yes, it has become a very big tourist attraction. I've heard there's about 10,000 tourists per year come to Iquitos just to experience ayahuasca.
And it's people who need healing in what? What kind of help are they looking for, or what kind of spiritual guidance?
Many people are coming for a confirmation that there is more to life than what really meets the eye. Maybe a confirmation of God or something more spiritual.
And you get
many people that come with many illnesses, cancer, for example. And I have seen people cured of cancer, but nothing's 100%.
Meaning you have cured people of cancer?
I had a lady many years ago that when I was with Don Augustine, she come with ovarian cancer. And Don Augustine said the reason I came was to cure her. And in a ceremony, me and a spirit entered her body and cured her.
And she's alive today?
She's alive today.
Victoria, you're going to add something?
Yes. What I did want to mention was that there is a great deal of ayahuasca tourism, and there are indigenous shamans, but they're generally now in these big retreats are Westerners who help facilitate. But in Ron's case, he is one of the only Westerners who has become a shaman himself.
Meaning these other ones are like you have a Westerner who's like the master of ceremonies, but you still need the real deal to carry it through.
Well, I consider Ron one of the real deals, but they just call him the gringo shaman, and he has accepted that. But generally, there are Westerners who help guide other, Americans and foreigners into the process, because it is difficult to step into it if you don't know the language and the fear, of course, of taking ayahuasca. With Ron, you can deal directly with him. You don't need an interpreter.
So it's people that come down who, not necessarily all of them have a disease they want cured. It's people who are curious, who are intellectually curious, spiritually curious.
Well, I've talked to many people who are in ceremonies with me, and many of them are professionals with degrees, and they're having problems in their life, and they just cannot understand it, that their life is not working for them. Many of them have depression and just cannot be lifted from what is bothering them.
So, Ron, is it the kind of thing where I've got a broken heart, some woman broke my heart, I need to get out of my funk, or they're looking for meaning in life? Let's say they're different people looking for different things. Do you mix a different batch of something to help them?
No, they drink the same medicine, but through the Icaros, the songs of the plants, and the spirits working through, we work on the person. We work with perfumes. We work with blowing smoke. And this expels the bad energy and makes it go away. I've had two people who had seen psychiatrists for over a year with no results. Drank ayahuasca with me one time. Have never seen a psychiatrist again.
It is transformational. There is something about it. And, Ron, what's interesting is that ayahuasca does not accept everyone.
No.
I mean, I was in my first ceremony with Ron, and there was a woman in her 70s.
Yeah, in her late 70s.
In late 70s, you remember?
Yeah.
And she didn't purge and had no visions. And yet I just laid back because I couldn't move for hours. And most other people in the group were experienced intense visions, yet ayahuasca was not the path for her.
And that happens many times. Something that keeps me very interested in ayahuasca, every time I drink, I never know what's going to happen.
Meaning like the drug itself or these spirits, whatever you want to call it, says this is not for you.
That's right. And it's a medicine, wouldn't you say, Ron?
It is medicine. We don't like to refer to it as a drug. Because it cleans the body, it cleans the spirit, it cleans the mind. It has the capabilities of healing many different diseases.
You could see how, and I'm sure both of you heard this, okay, this is what's going on. This is Americans with too much money on their hands going down to South America to get loaded.
Oh, no. No, this is, no. First of all, it's, First of all, there's a purge, and it's a lot of suffering. It's not fun.
No, it's nothing recreational.
And it doesn't taste good. Ron, I don't know how you drink it so much, because it really is difficult to drink.
For my first couple of years of my studies, almost every time I drank, I asked myself, my God, why do I drink this stuff?
Does it make you sick?
But it's not, you're not nauseous. It just comes and you feel so clean afterwards. A big reason I drink it, because in my father's side of the family, my father, I've had two brothers, all three have died from pancreatic cancer. So I drink it a lot for my health. And they died at a very young age.
Ron, John just gave me a note that said the guy, one of the gentlemen that drank with us, was an Israeli MD. He was a cardiologist, and it just transformed his life.
Yeah, it's changed many people's lives.
Yeah, and it's given him information, medical information that he needed.
Ron, walk me through this. What do you do to prepare? Say three, four people show up. They want to go through a ceremony. What do you do in preparing for it?
Okay, let me go through this. So I drink at 9 o'clock at night. We form a circle. I have my altar prepared. The first thing I do, I blow tobacco smoke around the room to create a safe, sacred space. Then I bless the medicine, say a prayer. I always ask permission from God to work and to give thanks to the plants. Then we drink the medicine. The effects can start anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour. Usually within 10 minutes, I start singing. This is the call of the spirits. Many times the strength of the medicine depends on the person working with it. It's a strong purgative. Normally, can be at both ends.
It sounds great so far.
Yeah, it's really great. The visions come on. One never knows. It's an inward journey. It's many times like a mirror, makes us have to look deep inside ourselves. Many people who've had traumatic childhoods are able to look back and see these things, and through the purging helps clean their body, the mind, of these problems, so they can move forward with their life. So I sing throughout the ceremony. I play instruments, I drum. Then at the end, I come around, I blow smoke on everybody, because the body is very open in the state of ayahuasca. So any negative energy in the body is to expel that and to close the body back up so it's protected.
Well, let me also add that Ron spends it seems like 20 minutes with each person at the end, working with the energies of the person and putting them back together again. And as far as the purging goes, George, you know, Westerners, we keep everything that comes out of the body private. Yet you have to drop that because you're in a room full of people, and generally you're aware so that that during the day you're not eating full meals, so that when you do vomit, which is called the purge, mm-hmm. you know, it's not, you know, three meals, you know, full day's meals.
Right.
Now, normally one doesn't eat past noon.
Right. And so there's that's down to a limit.
Okay.
And then Ron always has, and all the shamans have, attendants, so that if you need help to leave,
somebody's
go
there.
To the bathroom, someone brings you and takes care of you.
We need to take a break. When we come back, Ron, I want you to tell me about ayahuasca and what else goes into the pot. And then, Victoria, I'm going to ask you about your own experiences and the benefits from that you've derived. Stay with us. We're talking with the Gringo Shaman of the Amazon here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We're learning about ayahuasca with Ron Wheelock, the Gringo Shaman of the Amazon, and his student, Victoria Alexander. Ron, tell me, let's back up for a second. Tell me about this plant. I mean, how do you harvest it? What else goes into the mix? And how long have people been trying this stuff?
Okay. Ayahuasca is a vine. It needs to be a minimum of 7 years old before it's mature enough to use. I've used vines. It's been up to 35 years old. One normally goes very early in the morning, the crack of dawn, to harvest the plant, because in this time the alkaloids are at the highest levels. One asks permission to harvest the plant from the plant. Then we blow smoke on it before we harvest it to bless it. It's a pretty extensive job harvesting it because these plants, this vine gets rather big.
Is there a lot of it down there?
Yes, there is. There's an awful lot of it. Thanks to many of the foreigners coming down, there's more people planting it. Many of the Peruvians are not good at replanting things. They use and don't put back. So it's pretty extensive harvest in the plant. You have to climb a tree, take it down piece by piece. Then we bring it back to the house. I personally use it's another vine, but I use the leaves of this vine. It's I know it as Wambisa. Many people know it better as Chalipanga. And also let me add that I've heard there's as many as 21 different varieties of ayahuasca. I personally know between 7 and 9. Many people use another leaf from a bush called, they refer to it as Chacruna. The Wambisa and the Chacruna are DMT-containing plants, which, when mixed with the ayahuasca, which has an MAOI, allows the DMT to be orally active in our bodies. We can't be drug tested for DMT because we all contain 5 grams of it in the pineal gland and in the foot in our brain or spinal cord. Then I also personally use leaves from another tree called Chirisanango. This tree many times is the roots are used for arthritis, usually soaked in aguardiente to drink for arthritis, rheumatism. There's a flower I use of another small tree called Bobinsana. I use flowers or leaves from the Datura family, a plant we call there as Toe. And I always like to use tobacco. We have a very strong tobacco. It grows in the jungle. That's no chemicals, no pesticides are ever used on it.
Tell me this, Ron. Are the effects, are they comparable to other kinds of psychoactive drugs that Americans would be more familiar with, LSD, psilocybin mushrooms, something like that?
In the fact that they're hallucinogenic, but that's where the difference ends. I will admit, in my younger years, I experimented with LSD. I found when I did that, depending on the events that happened during the day, could determine the experience from ingesting this drug. But with ayahuasca, I've noticed it doesn't matter what culture a person comes from. They normally have the same types of visions that the indigenous people who have worked with this plant forever. They see jungle. They see snakes. They see animals of the jungle, other worlds, not something pertaining to their basic life many times.
So like with LSD, you remember hearing the story, somebody would take it, they're in a bummed out mood, they jump out of a window.
Yes, I remember these stories.
I don't know how many of them were true, might have been exaggerated, but some of them were, but nothing like that with this stuff.
Never with this.
Well, can I just say something? When everyone asks me about it, I say the difference is that with ayahuasca, it's not altered consciousness. It's heightened consciousness.
Very well.
So you are you. It's not like you're in a drugged or a drunken state or a drugged state. And since LSD is a synthetic, there is a very big difference, because ayahuasca has a consciousness of its own. So you can have a relationship, or you can communicate with it. It gives, and so that's the very big difference. Instead of you being sort of victim of a drug,
like along for the ride or something.
Yeah.
Well, Victoria, tell me, how many times have you taken it, and what has been the range of your experiences?
Well, I began in the year 2000, and so I've taken it maybe once a year. I've gone on retreat since then. At least I try to, and I will do another retreat in July. If people are interested, I would be pleased to correspond with anyone by email. And for me, it has been so profound. It's as if I've been, my relationship with ayahuasca is as an advocate. Somebody like Ron has been chosen to be a shaman and to work with other people. But for me, the way I serve the mother ayahuasca is through promoting her and being an advocate for the experience.
And okay, you've done it every year since then. The experience has been different. What have you taught? What have you learned? How has it changed your life?
The way it's changed my life is that I know that there is this reality, but it's not the final or the complete reality. You can separate and you can walk into another reality. How it's changed me is it just opens up that it's a reality. You can walk into another reality. And I go with intent. So before an experience, before I have a ceremony, I'll write down an intent. Maybe it's to learn about numbers, to learn about a number your audience would be interested in this. For one experience, I said I want to see an alien, an extraterrestrial.
And did you?
Well, this is really fascinating, because let's say you were to say to someone, well, what's a human being? Well, would it be a black person? Would it be an Asian? How would you identify? What do you think would come to you? So when I asked to experience an extraterrestrial, this is so elegant. It showed me the DNA of an extraterrestrial. I mean, so that is really, for me, something profound. So it goes, it answers your question, but it opens the answer up. So it's, if you're a mathematician, you could go into the world of equations, and it could open that up for you. Or if you're a medical doctor, that's why professionals generally come to ayahuasca as an agent for opening up what they're interested in.
I guess what the Western mind again would ask, well, you know, what's real about this? Isn't it all internalized, caused by this plant? Why should anybody assume that it's real, that it's anything other than something your mind is reacting to, a substance that you put into your body?
Well, I can answer that, but I would like Ron to answer it.
Yeah,
okay.
I would like that.
Okay.
Scientists and doctors also say these things who have near-death experiences. This is just something in the mind. With my work with ayahuasca, I am 100% sure that after the physical body dies, that my spirit lives on. I have been shown this. And I'll even add that I had an experience where I actually physically died for 10 or 15 minutes in ayahuasca one time. The word ayahuasca comes from the Quechua language, meaning the vine of the soul or the rope of death, not meaning that one dies when they drink it. They may experience dying many times. It helps to teach us to learn how to die. So in many ways, this, I see many people when they get older, they in our society, we're really taught to fear death. With the use of these plants, they can help prepare us for this moment. And also, this medicine has helped me to do away with worry.
And you could go to ayahuasca with a problem or questions, and it will answer it for you. It's all about intent and your agenda. What are you seeking? And most people find they get the answers that they're looking for, and that's what's important.
Sure.
And is it legal? Is it legal here?
There are the UDV Church and the Santo Daime Church that work with it.
And it was just made legal in Brazil. It's legal in Brazil.
So here it's
not legal, no.
It's not legal.
But the churches are not bothered to work with it. Some years back, there was a Supreme Court case hearing on the UDV in New Mexico. They won 100% in the Supreme Court to be observed to work with this medicine.
But I've taken it with the Santo Daime Church in Brazil and here in Las Vegas, and I found that the tea is very mild, and also the church has an agenda, and you have to follow it like a church ceremony. So you cannot really do any internal work in these churches. What would you agree, Ron?
I've never participated, but I know people who have. I know their work is very structured.
That's right.
I've heard the UDV through Dennis McKenna, who has worked with them, is much different. You're more allowed to do more internal work.
I want to talk about the McKennas a little bit. Terrence McKenna, the late Terrence McKenna, of course, was a major advocate for plant substances and what they could teach us about the nature of reality. You're familiar with his work, Ron, right?
Yes, to a degree. I'm a good friend with Dennis.
That's his brother?
His brother, yes. He's a very interesting person.
Well, is there somewhere where you diverge opinions about plants and their effectiveness and what they could be used for from the McKennas?
I agree with them very much, and I've thought about these plants most of my life. Why are there hallucinogenic plants on every spot on the face of this earth? In 2000, I was here in San Francisco for the first ever conference on ayahuasca. I told a friend of mine, I said, I would like to have an icaro, a song, in English for us gringos. Us gringos don't understand all languages. Ayahuasca does. A song came to me. And it came to me that these plants, that God put these plants on the face of the earth for us to use, that they're sacred, and they're here to teach us how to live and to heal our illness.
And to teach us about the nature of reality?
Sure. And, I mean, to live with nature, to live with one another. And in so many parts of the world, these plants are forbidden to use. And they grow here natural. I mean, in my opinion, God put everything on his face, this earth, for us to use.
Victoria, you were saying?
In Peru, it is officially a part of the cultural heritage also.
Yes, they've made this exactly legal in Peru that they cannot take this away from the culture. This has been used for maybe as long as 3,000 years by the indigenous.
We're talking about the nature of reality and what this stuff might teach us about it. What does it teach us about it? Is it telling us that what we see around us, the physical reality, is only part of it, or it's not even real, or not as real as other kinds of realities? Does it tell us there are other dimensions? What does it tell us, Ron?
It teaches that this reality is very important also, but it connects us more with nature, to not just look at a tree and think it's just a tree. It knows nothing. It's a warehouse of knowledge to connect us with the earth, to feel how she is our mother, what she has to give to us, to all the animals and all of nature around us, that each part is important, that just not the material world is the only important thing there is. We need to really get more in touch with nature and our surroundings, to be more connected.
And the intelligence of nature.
Yes, I mean, it's far greater than us.
And well, speaking of intelligence, do you encounter other kinds of intelligences? We'll talk about spirits in a second, but Victoria, you are looking into whether you can encounter an alien. Ron, do you encounter what we would call aliens, ETs, people from somewhere else?
Visitors from other planets in my visions come and visit me and teach me things.
So, and are they taking ayahuasca wherever they are, or are they able to communicate without it? I'm
serious. I don't think they need to.
No.
You could be the gringo shaman visiting another planet then.
Yeah.
Gringo shaman of the cosmos. But
the cosmos,
seriously.
There you go.
Seriously, though, you can use this as a communication tool to contact other intelligences.
Absolutely.
In
fact, I have. I've said, take me to another planet, and it does. It, whatever you want, it can provide for you until it decides that now it will give you what it wants to give you. But for a while, it will entertain you. You want to go to another planet. You want to learn about something. It just opens up intelligence.
What about scary stuff, depressing stuff? Ron, there must be some spirit who says, okay, you took this drug.
Yeah.
Here's the truth. You're really messed up. You're despicable.
There's many times I have people that have very scary experiences.
I've never had a bad experience, ever.
I guess
thank goodness.
It's based on what you bring into it. But scary experiences, meaning they have to come to grips with some terrible truth about themselves?
Maybe fears of being killed, consumed by an animal, dismembered by maybe spirits with swords, many different things. One guy told me that he spent the whole night in the stomach of a boa.
It was very terrifying,
but it was life-changing.
Yeah, that's why you need a shaman there to help guide you and to assist you with that. But, Ron, when people are going through that, if they call to you to come and help them,
yes.
Do you know what they're going – you can – because not only are you having – you're taking ayahuasca yourself, but then you have to become the shaman as well to help them.
That's when one is the shaman.
Right.
I may not always know exactly what's going on with them, but I do know what to do to help bring them out of that space, or either if they need to go into it deeper, that they go into it.
Wow.
They're like, oh, in the moment, they are terrified. The
interesting,
next morning, they are completely changed. And they'll be ready to do it again.
Ron, we're going to continue that example and hear some more examples of what has happened to people who have taken this stuff with my guests, Ron Wheelock, the Gringo Shaman of the Amazon, and his student, Victoria Alexander. And we'll be opening up the phone lines. Stay with us here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Ron Wheelock, Gringo Shaman of the Amazon. I can hear people out there just thinking to themselves, oh, great, just what the world needs, another drug. They look at all the trouble and all the havoc that's been caused by abuse of different kinds of drugs in our country and around the world. And I can see them saying, oh, gosh, we don't need this one.
But you know what, George, let me just say that everyone that I know, professional, has taken ayahuasca. There is Graham Hancock, of course. John Mack and I have had many, many conversations about ayahuasca because he was an advocate.
Dr. John Mack of Harvard Medical School.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I get many professional people. I get doctors. I get psychologists. I get college professors.
Well, let me ask it this way, Ron. Should it be more widely available, or is it the kind of thing that should only be administered under the supervision of somebody like yourself?
Well, there are a lot of people that like to work on it on their own. I think a person should be responsible, but I really think it's much better when it is worked with an ayahuasquero, a shaman who works with this plant. Because
is it the kind of thing
be the guide on their journey?
Is it the kind of thing that could be abused? I mean, could you grow it here? Could you suddenly become an ayahuasca dealer in the United States? I'm serious.
It won't grow below freezing. Below freezing, it will die. And I think there are places in the United States it grows, in maybe Southern California, maybe in Florida.
But naturally.
Wait a minute, Ron, you just said, and I agree with you, that it's the age of the vine.
Sure,
so they
sure.
had to start 30 years ago to get a very potent vine.
For sure. But I cannot ever see it becoming something that could be raised and marketed like marijuana or any other.
Have you ever heard of anyone abusing it or overdoing it? Somebody who ODs or somebody who suddenly gets hooked on it?
I don't see any way any person could ever get hooked on it. And there have been people who have tried to take the purgative effects out of it, but nobody has been successful with that.
Right, I've heard
that
too.
And that keeps it from becoming recreational. Many people, because the fact that it is a purgative, do not find that experience enjoyable.
Yeah. So tell me this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That keeps a lot of the thrill seekers away.
Right. Ron, is there a scientific evidence? Do you had any professional folk come down and want to study you or your processes or look at notes? Or?
I recently had a French doctor come and interview me. I know Dennis McKenna has worked researching it quite a bit. There's another doctor, I think his name's Rick Dobkin.
Mm-hmm.
The MAP Society,
right,
who work a lot with trying to understand the use of entheogens, of hallucinogens, and how they work in the mind. There's a lot of medical field. And I recently sent a liter of ayahuasca to a neurology hospital for a guy to do some work on people for a year and write up a story in a medical magazine. I haven't heard how that's progressing.
I just want to say that there are a lot of people who now label themselves shaman. I call them Disney shamans. But as Ron mentioned to you, the training and the dedication can take years because there are a lot of restrictive initiations that one has to go through to become an authentic shaman. Like he said, there's dietary restrictions, no sex, isolation, and a great deal of work with the plant.
This is very true. We have people come to my place to do plant diets, to learn this work. My girlfriend and I make many remarks. A lot of people come down, they think they can do 1 week, 2 weeks of diet, and they're a shaman. Now they can go work with this plant and make a lot of money.
Right, yes.
So they do these things. I don't approve of them. But what other people do, I have no control over. But
so when people get
into these bad spots, I don't know how these people deal with these things without the proper experience, without the proper training.
So as with any medical practitioner or health practitioner, it's buyer beware. I mean, you got to be careful who you're dealing with.
Yes, that can be true in many cases. Even in the Amazon, around the Iquitos, one needs to be careful. Many people have seem to find Iquitos like the gold mine for ayahuasqueros. Many have come from many places. Some of them just know how to administer it. One needs to work with reputable people. They need to do some research. And then there's plenty of information on the Internet about many people.
Also, I want to say that I've been in every ceremony I've been in, there's always someone who something catastrophic happens. And unless you're trained and understand the medicine, what do they do if it's in their home in San Diego and somebody doesn't know how to handle it?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
I get many people come to me who have worked with other ayahuasqueros around the area and comment me that when they work with me, they feel safe. They feel like they really like my work. They feel safer than when they work with someone else.
We're going to go to the phones. First-time caller, Josh in San Francisco. Hi, Josh. Good morning.
Hi there. How are you?
Okay. What's on your mind?
Great. So I have worked with Ron several times, and I just wanted to share a little bit about my experience and address some of the questions you had brought up.
Okay.
You had asked about, you know, what does ayahuasca do for people? What are some examples of that? And I've also heard you question, you know, is this a drug? Is this a medicine? Is it dangerous? Did people get addicted to it? Things like that. And I have to say that ayahuasca has really helped me in my life. It's certainly increased my discipline and my groundedness. And other people have noticed that about me after ceremony. And this is completely the opposite of what you would expect from a drug, right? Like pot, something like that. And it's helped me reject a lot of sickness in my life, not just physical, but the sickness in the world. We're surrounded by addiction, processed industrial food, all the profiteering, capitalism, that kind of thing. And in ceremony, ayahuasca has shown me the ways that those things can be unhealthy and encouraged me not to participate in them.
Did you encounter some sort of a spirit?
I've been in contact with the ayahuasca spirit in my ceremonies. I'm very new to this. I've done ceremony maybe 10 times, and I have not encountered a great deal of spirits beyond that. But definitely ayahuasca herself, which I experience as she's called La Madre. She's definitely very much a mother figure. I'm very caring, but also very strict. And
so, I mean,
I've gone.
Well, Josh, I appreciate your testimonial there. We appreciate it. Wildcard line, Robert in Carthage, Missouri. Good morning, Robert.
Yes. Greetings to all. I would had a question. Wondered, and this is to both of the shaman and the young lady user there. Wondered if in any of your journeys you had ever witnessed a guide that you thought might be an angel, or if you've ever seen God, the face of God, Jesus Christ, or Satan, or hell, or a demon?
Good questions, Robert.
Yes, let me answer that. And thank you, Robert. I'm from Southwest Missouri, so good to hear from you. I, one night, was drumming. As I was drumming, vines dropped from the sky. They took me up into the heavens, and I sat in what I would say was the house of God. It was very bright, and I was told then that in this moment, now I have learned how to heal. And I've also had one experience with a person who felt like they were possessed. When I worked with him, it was very much like the confrontation with Satan. So, yes, I have encountered these many times. And
yes,
this work has really strengthen my belief system in God.
And yes, I have also, except I cannot speak about them, about the, my experience with the face of God. It's just something I cannot talk about. However, as far as demons or spirits, I have, but I feel protected by the Mother Ayahuasca, and to me it's just as fascinating and interesting, and my curiosity is such that I have no fear. I have no fear when I'm more curious about these things as part of reality.
I think what Robert raises, sir, is the kind of questions that would be on the minds of a lot of people. What would be the reaction of mainstream religion? I would think there'd be a lot of resistance to this. First, that it, you're relying on some sort of a drug. Secondly, that you'd come into contact with spirits. I think there'd be a lot of presumption that if there are other spirits, they got to be evil.
You know, yeah. I thought this way also for many years. But I meet a lot of Christians, missionary groups who I talk to down there, and they talk about my work, and they're very interested in it. They have many questions about it.
In other words, it's not mutually exclusive.
No. So,
I don't see anything as evil.
No.
I don't experience anything as evil when I'm
okay.
In ayahuasca.
Robert, thanks for the call. Also on the wild card line, Patrick, who is on a tugboat in New York Harbor. Good morning, Patrick.
Hey, good morning. Love the gift. It's great to hear all y'all talk. This is shaman stuff's really taking off. I'm not allowed, you know, due to my occupation, to, you know, to even think about experimenting with such a, you know, such things like that. But I was wondering, you know, with all the people there that experiment with the, you know, different drugs and things like that, or even with it being such a natural, you know, chemical. But do y'all, as a responsible shaman, do y'all try to definitely induce a non-chemical meditation first, and then work your way towards the ayahuasca? Or do you just cut straight to the chase? And then what age do y'all do you normally start with the person, and what age?
Okay. In this culture, people in other cultures, yeah, they work with meditations. There's many paths to get to the same destination, but through the use of these plants, can help break down many barriers and help us to arrive at these points much faster. In the Peruvian culture, many people believe that when a child is 8 years old, that their thought process is pretty well formed. And at that age, they sometimes start giving them small doses of ayahuasca. So anywhere from 8 years on up, one can start.
Wow, people would have a fit if they thought 8-year-old kids here were taking ayahuasca.
In this country, yes, they most certainly would, but it's very accepted in Peru.
Ron, I'm wondering, you'd have two ceremonies a week, and you take this stuff, and you've been doing it for years. What about long-term effects?
The long-term effects are very
physical,
positive.
Or mental or otherwise.
It has really slowed my aging process down. I'm 55 now. Many people don't believe it. I have a younger brother that's 4 years younger than me. He looks 15, 20 years older than me. And all the ayahuasqueros say that the medicine maintains our body by the cleansing and then just constantly repairing the body. So I find it very beneficial, healthy. I don't take any other medications. Everything I take is natural. So I tell a lot of people also, in the Western culture, many people, by the time they're 40 years old, have a basket of pills on their table. Sunday evening, they have to sit down and fill their little container because they can't remember all the pills they got to take for the week that only control their illnesses. I could do that or I can drink ayahuasca once or twice a week, and I don't need any of that.
You had mentioned earlier you came up for a conference on ayahuasca, and I don't know if that's what you're in the country right now for or not, but are there a lot of these? Is it scientists or other shamans, or who goes to a conference like this?
It's medical field, science. Many professional people are pursuing this path, trying to understand it more, and ayahuasca is gaining a lot of positive recognition in all these aspects. It's great for depressions. I've known many people that suffer depressions and work with it and don't have these problems. They don't take any other medications. Women who are pregnant can take it. If it's not harmful to the child, they say that the children are born much more intelligent. And the conferences, they have an annual one in Peru. I've been to one in the States. I was at an international conference in Amsterdam. So there's a lot of research going on in this field.
George?
Yes?
John just mentioned to me that I should tell your audience that I brought a friend of his, a childhood friend, Bill, who had Parkinson's disease. And he arrived with those leg braces, and after several ceremonies, the shaking stopped, and he improved a great deal, and he had already had gone through cancer and everything else, and in fact, he moved to Peru.
Were the positive effects permanent? Did it stay?
He kept taking ayahuasca, yeah. And, of course, the cancer came back. But for several years, he felt that his physical improvement was solely due to ayahuasca.
And the mental and psychological effects, I guess, made it easier for him to deal with the cancer to begin with?
After he moved to Peru, yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. So his change was very influential. We really noticed a big change in him.
We have a lot of people on the phone lines. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we'll go back to the phones with your questions for my guests, Ron Wheelock, the Gringo Shaman of the Amazon, and his pupil, student, adherent Victoria Alexander. And one of the things I'd like to know about is cost. I mean, obviously, Ron, you don't give this stuff away for free.
No.
What it would be typical if there is tourism and people go down for these kinds of things, what it costs? I mean, very quickly before the break comes on, okay. Is it expensive?
My charges there, I charge 100 solis for a session, which is about $30.
And he is very modest.
A lot of people charge from $50 to $100 per session.
Or even more.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll get back into that after the break. Patrick on the tugboat in New York Harbor, thanks for that call, by the way. You be careful out there. We'll be right back with more on Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. All right. We're in our final segment with Ron Wheelock and Victoria Alexander, going to the phones to get to as many as we can. East of the Rockies, Stephen in Maywood, New Jersey. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning to all. My question is, actually, I have two of them. I'm working with energy a bit, but I was wondering, can you help somebody heal them with that has a curvature of the spine, a scoliosis, and do they have to take the ayahuasca also? Could I learn to heal them without her taking it?
Ron?
Okay. About 100% cure, that would probably be hard to do, but it could really be helped, and then it'd have to use the employ of other plants. There's some resins that could be applied, and drinking the ayahuasca would definitely be very helpful.
Stephen, is it your spine we're talking about?
It is my girlfriend.
Uh-huh. So you would like to be able to help her. Does she need to take it, or can you take it and help her? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
It could be done either ways, but it's always better if the patient always partakes of the medicine. But with something like this, we would have to use some other plants.
And Ron,
just only with the use of ayahuasca.
Ron, would the benefit also be psychological as opposed to not necessarily physically curing her, but psychological benefits of dealing with it?
It would be both aspects, the psychological effects of dealing with it and with treatment, and the physical effects could be helped a lot.
Stephen, does that help you?
Yes, it does. I was wondering how you would get somebody, convince them to this would be good for them. That's kind of a closed-minded suburban girl.
This can be the problem.
Yeah.
And unless the person actually, their self, wants the healing, it's hard to work with them. Even like with drug addicts or alcoholics, unless the person, their self, actually wants the healing, no matter how much the other person wants, it's very hard to do.
Maybe it's as simple as, honey, our vacation this year, I booked us to go to Peru.
There you go.
And
my house is open.
Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate the call. West of the Rockies, Randall. And yes?
I just want to say that I want to thank you for having us on, and I think Ron has been a terrific and informative guest, and thank you so much for allowing us to come on and talk about this.
Yes, most definitely.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to have you here. West of the Rockies, Randall in Bakersfield. Randall, how you doing?
I'm glad you guys are there, too. It's a great show. I've got two quick questions. I was wondering if ayahuasca and the experience, if it informs you to either, at the point of death, enter the light or avoid the light. And my second question is ayahuasca a temporary, cause for temporary paralysis? Thank you.
Okay. With the problem with death, it will help one to, when they come to death, they will know how to go into the light. From my studies of death, many times when one dies, they're not aware that they have died, that they continue their normal everyday life. But they're no longer, no one comes sees them, they'll no longer eat. So this helps us make us more aware of death and prepare us.
Are you saying, Ron, that you continue to exist on some other plane?
Yes, in another plane, yes.
Something akin to heaven or something just another alternate reality?
It can help us to in my studies of death, there's many different levels. So this can help us to elevate much, much faster.
Anything to add to that, Victoria?
No. I have no experience with death.
Uh-huh. And the other question, what was it?
Is Randall still there? Okay, Randall's gone. First-time caller, Chris in Houston.
Oh, hello, Ron.
Hello.
Okay, so my first question is, how can one know if they are chosen by Mother Ayahuasca? Because I've been feeling like a strong urge to find like my higher self or like a true reality of nature. And my second question is, in your ayahuasca visions, can you look into the future and the past? And if so, can you tell me if the plant tells you anything about like 2012 or the future of our consciousness or any of that? So thank you.
Okay.
Good questions.
To know if ayahuasca is calling you, you're already showing an interest.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that you're taking a step right now. I never try to talk anybody to come. I always tell people the plant does that. The people that come to drink is the one she chooses. And yes, you can see into the past and see into the future. These may not be, nobody can predict the future exactly. But it can give us glimpses what could be possible. But we also, as humans, with this knowledge, can try to do things to change these.
Meaning you can get a glimpse of the future, but it's not the only possible future.
No. And there's no one can predict the future exactly.
Not even the goddess, huh?
she can show us things that are possible.
Okay. Skype, we have Jed in Grants Pass, Oregon.
Yeah, I was wondering, if the plant spirits ever talk about the forces of light and darkness, good and evil, and what's happening with that on our planet.
With my work with the medicine, these battles still go on. I've seen that since the beginning of time, there's been the battle of light and dark, of good and bad. And even though many of us are not aware of it, these battles are still going on today.
You ever see Christ in any of these visions?
Yes, at times I have seen Christ. So.
And is he talking to you?
I more see the face of God, and it's just a very bright light. It's almost impossible to look at.
That guy Chris had asked about whether you had seen any visions about 2012. You know, there's a lot of anxiety about 2012.
I have a lot of interest in that myself. I feel something very much may happen. I have seen in the past in ayahuasca that we may see some major, major earth changes. And I know that there's many religions all over the world that think something's going to happen. Sometimes I feel like the human race, we're not going to be able to go on like we're going, destroying the forest, the jungle, the nature around us. I see we're little by little destroying ourselves. So whether it'll happen or not, we don't have much more time to wait and see. So
when you're talking about visions of 2012, or you know, just put that label on it, meaning cataclysm changes, earthquakes, asteroids, or are you talking about more of a spiritual change?
Some people think of a spiritual change, but I think there'll be many physical changes. I mean, we're already seeing these things. We Haiti recently, the major earthquake in Santiago. The earth is a very living thing, and in my opinion, we've treated her very disrespectful. And her being our mother, she needs to correct this.
Well, I would imagine you being on the edge of the Amazon down there, you see a lot of that evidence.
When I first moved there, I didn't see much destruction of the rainforest. But in my 14 years of going down and now 10 years living there, I have seen sawmills crop up everywhere. The rivers are full of trees for lumber. Some of my friends have traveled in the jungle. They've tell me that the rivers, you don't see no big trees close hardly anymore. And these trees are not something that just grow overnight and come back.
Well, I wonder if, you know, and I'm not advocating this or defending it, but I wonder if the lady ayahuasca or the goddess ayahuasca talks to you about that and is, you know, expresses concern.
I asked this one time, and the answer I got was, what is going on in the world is exactly as it's supposed to be, that the human race, subconsciously, we are doing things to help bring forth the earth changes, that she can't do without us.
Wildcard line, Frank in West Virginia. Good morning, Frank.
First of all, I'd like to say hello to Mr. Knapp and Mr. Wilcock and Miss Alexander. But my question really based upon the possibility that Desmantis or actually that DMT was only available sporadically through the United States. And from my understanding, it's almost throughout almost every species in plants, most predominantly through Desmantis roots. And my second question was, whether any difference was noticed in the additives of DMT and MAOIs added to other things such as tobacco that you mentioned earlier, or if it was just a, you know, I don't know how to describe it. My third question, though, is the ability to become a shaman on the internet age. So
okay.
I apologize for the long length of those. But
no problem. Yes, in Rick Strassman's book, DMT, the Spirit Molecule, he talks about how it would be easier to look for places where DMT is not than to look for where it is. Mm-hmm. It's in many trees, it's in all humans, it's in all animals. It's all throughout nature. But with the use of the MAOs, allows it to be orally active. It can be smokable, active on its own, or it can be blown up the nose through snuffs, and it don't need the use of an MAOI. And
he also asked about becoming a shaman on the internet.
I think that's pretty iffy. You can search the internet for where to go study, but as a course over the internet, if that's offered, I wouldn't think it would be very valid.
Frank, thank you for the calls and the questions. Scott in Salt Lake City. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm glad to be on. I just had a quick question. My favorite band is Tool, and they use an artist who's a really good spiritual artist. His name's Alex Gray. And in a book I was reading, he talked about taking, you know, ayahuasca and having these spiritual experiences, and it helped him delve into, you know, more art that is more conducive to, you know, third eye and more spiritual stuff. So I was wondering if that's a normal thing, if, you know, people get influenced in their art by this.
It can really open up their mind to many different things. I'm knowledgeable of Alex Gray's paintings. They're wonderful. I've heard tapes of his talking, and these things really help open up this in one's mind.
Musicians as well.
Musicians also.
Victoria, you were going to add in?
Yes, many artists come to take ayahuasca because of it, so that the different dimensions of their subjects come through.
And do they produce art while they're under the influence?
Well, I don't know.
I don't think there's anyone doing that.
No, you can't do that. I've tried to write and have paper next to me. It's very, very difficult when it takes over you. It's really difficult. That's why shamans like Ron are so fantastic, because they have to.
Very incredible. The well-known artist Pablo Amaringo, even though years of not drinking ayahuasca, he was still able to paint the visions of ayahuasca until the time of his death.
Yeah, so nobody is keeping a journal of these trips.
No, it's very hard.
Okay, we're going to try to get one more call in at least. Mike in Cleveland. Good morning, Mike.
Good evening, George, Ron, and Victoria.
Hello.
Hello.
George, a great guest on this subject would be an author, James Orrick. He recently published a book, Tryptamine Palace.
Okay.
Ron and Victoria, my two-part question, please. Has ayahuasca ever shown either of you the origin or nature of consciousness? And is consciousness an internal or externally generated phenomena, or possibly both simultaneously occurring through the quantum non-local effect?
Very good question.
Go ahead, Ron.
I can't truly say ayahuasca has never shown me this, and I've never presented that question to her. But I think consciousness is something very universal, through plants, through all things. So
is it
add to that, Victoria? I'd be glad to hear.
Yes, I think it's beyond the person. Yes, absolutely.
So it's external.
It's external.
Very external.
Yeah.
Mike, I appreciate that the question. One more quick one. East of the Rockies, Tim in Illinois. Tim, better make it a quick one.
Yeah, I was curious, thinking about doing this, and I wondered what the standard procedure is, or the ambience. Do people sit? How many people are there usually to a shaman? You know, do they all sit in one room and take part in this? Or
okay, let me
describe the process itself.
Yes, we all are in one room. We stay in a circle. It can be, I've had anywhere from 1 to 27 people, personally. I have been with my teacher with up to 50 people.
My.
With more people, there's more energy.
And I would like to add that Ron is extremely welcoming. And nowadays in Iquitos, where it has become the ayahuasca industry, and people are becoming land barons. And what I like about, and I'm very fond of Ron, is because he is welcoming, and there is no financial restriction. 100
yeah.
solis is anyone can afford that, and he never turns anyone away. Isn't
no,
that?
I have a very open door policy.
Yes.
Do you have to worry about con men? I mean, we've sort of hinted around about it, about people going down there, taking 2 weeks of study and becoming experts, and then charging whatever to gullible American or European tourists.
Absolutely.
Very much, very much.
And there's many, many ayahuasca forums that you can go on and read about what people are saying about certain shamans.
I don't know if there's an equivalent of karma, but I would think that those guys are inviting something very bad for doing something like that.
I think very possible. Can I mention my website?
Sure.
Okay. Anybody's interested in me, I have two websites you can visit. One is thegringoshaman.com, and the other is ronwheelock.com. So it has all my accommodations, my prices, my work. So feel free to visit it and contact me.
And Victoria,
George,
you said
anytime you'd like to come down, you're a welcome guest at my house any day.
I'm kicking it around.
Terrific.
Grab Victoria and come on down.
Yes.
Well,
we'll go together, George.
All right.
I'll
Victoria.
Hold your hand.
Victoria and Ron, thank you very much for being on the program. Look forward to talking to you again sometime. Thanks also to David Grand for being on the program. And I'll be back next month, everyone. Good night, and thanks for joining us here on Coast to Coast AM.